What's up, Ortandians? This is your girl, Ortandia, and you are tuning in to your favorite podcast, House of Ortandia. How you guys doing? I'm back in effect, back in the house, back doing what I do, and that's communicate and talk with you. And you could, as you can tell from the title, we're going to talk about some deep stuff today. I won't say that. I won't call it deep. You know, I'm a black woman, and so we're just going to talk, and, you know, you're probably thinking, well, why? What brought this on? Like, well, first of all, if you've been listening to this podcast for any amount of time, you know that I am pro-black woman. Like, I love black women, you know, ride for black women and black girls. Come, you know, hell or high water. That's just who I am. That's just how I'm made up. But what brought this on, why I wanted to do this episode was because black women, you know, we are always policed. Our bodies are policed. Our hair is policed. What we say, how we say it, how we dress, what we wear, you know, why is her hair like that? Why are you so angry? Everything is policed. And we aren't given the freedom to just be who we are, to live, to show up fully as whoever you are, to show up fully and to live in that space, to be fully in that space, you know. And so, okay, I'm gonna take it back. I just saw a couple of days ago, I watched a documentary. You know, when I watch documentaries, I have you know, my brain starts to turning. But I watched this documentary about a woman named Recy Taylor. It was called The Rape of Recy Taylor. She is a woman from Abbeville, Alabama, black woman. And she was raped, brutally raped, viciously raped by 7 white boys in 1944. They ranged in age from 16. I think the oldest one was 19, 18 or 19. Miss Arisi was coming home from church or night revival. She was walking home from church. So this is the very Jim Crow South. And so she's walking home from church with a neighbor and her neighbor's son. Incidentally enough, her husband, she was married. She had a 9-month-old son. Her husband said, you know, babe, you know, he didn't want her to go that night, right? He was like, oh, you just stay home, da, da, da. And she was like, no, she was in love with Jesus Christ, like in love. She was like, no, I gotta go. I just feel like I really need to be there, you know. And she went, and her husband was like, okay, well, you know, I'll stay home with the baby. You go ahead and go. And so she went. And they had a wonderful time at church, you know, worship and praise, the teaching, all of that. And her neighbor and her neighbor's son were walking back home. Pitch black, dirt road, the whole scenario. And a pickup truck came up behind them with 7, like I said, 7 white boys, ordered Miss Recy in the car under gunpoint. The neighbor was an older woman, so it was nothing that she could do. And her son was like a young man. It's nothing that he couldn't fight off 7, you know, people, and they had guns, right? And so they ordered her in the car. And the neighbor went right to the sheriff's office. Like, she went right to the sheriff and say, hey, you know, these 7 white boys, they just took Recy Taylor. I don't know what they're going to do with her, blah, blah, blah. So she filed a report, and then she went right to Recy Taylor's father's house and her husband and told her father and her husband about what happened to her. Let me tell you, the father, he grabbed a gun off the wall, and he had a shotgun, and he went walking up the street looking for his daughter, you know. And so they took her out in the woods, and all 7 of them brutalized her. And so, but she didn't die. And so they said, well, we'll drop you. We'll take you back if you promise not to say anything. And so she had the wit about her. She was like, oh, I won't say anything. I won't tell anybody nothing. And she knew one of the young boys that raped her lived right across the way from her, by the way. And so she said, I won't say anything. And they took her to like a dirt road and threw her out the car. And I can only imagine what was going through her mind as she was laying on the floor of the wood. They were in the woods, pitch black, Abbeville, Alabama. I can only imagine what was going on in her mind as one by one, they brutalized her. I can only imagine what she was thinking. You know, what's she thinking about her husband? What's she thinking about her baby? She had a 9-month-old daughter. Like, am I going to ever see them again? What's going to happen to me? Are they going to kill me? Blah, 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 blah. What was going on? Was she afraid? I know she was terrified. I was watching the documentary, and I was terrified, you know. And you know, they took her to this dirt road, threw her out, and she went running. And so she happened to run right into her father. She ran right into her father and her husband as they was looking, going up and down these streets looking for her. And she was never able to get pregnant again. And you know what? She didn't keep quiet. She went right to the sheriff's office. I'm so proud of her in this regard. She went right to the sheriff's office. She filed a report. She said, I know some of them. I know this one lives across the street from me. And so the sheriff, you know, he did his half-hearted thing. And he went and rounded them up, brought them into their house. And she said, yeah, that's one of them. And they never got prosecuted. Needless to say, they never got prosecuted. They had it was a jury of a bunch of white men. And they all were found innocent, right? And they all left for the military, you know, and they were able to go and live this wonderful life. And Miss Reese had a bit of a hard life, you know, after that, you know, and she passed in 2017, I think she passed. And, not 2017. I think she passed she was able to meet Barack Obama. So she was around for that 2008 inauguration. I want to say she passed I may be getting it. She either passed in 16 or 17, 2016 or 17. But nonetheless, the state of Alabama finally issued her an apology for what happened to her. They issued that apology in like 2012, some ridiculous amount of time after the fact. They had two trials for these young men, and both times they were found innocent. You know, Rosa Parks was involved. You know, she was heavily involved with the NAACP. She was an investigator for them. So she came down from Montgomery to do her investigatory work. And it is just, that documentary, and they said it in the documentary, and it got me to thinking that from the day of slavery, even up until now, Black women have been, it's almost been this thing where we don't have a right to say no. We don't have agency over our own body. We don't have the right to protect our space. How dare you tell me no? You know, how dare you say I can't be in your physical space? I can't be up close to you. How dare you say that I don't have the right to do whatever I want to do with your body? You know, it's just, and I say, and I'm not the only one saying, there are lots of people saying, I'm just echoing what other Black, beautiful Black women are saying, that we have agency over our body. You cannot and will not violate my personal space. You cannot violate my body. We have to call catcalling what it is, and it is a violation. It's a sexual assault. You know, you don't have the right to whistle and hawk and gawk and, you know, walk up behind me and say all of these disgusting things. And then I know you guys have heard these things, ask for your number. And if you say no, you could lose your life. Y'all have heard it. You know, Black women just minding their business, walking down the street, trying to go to the store, walking wherever. And some cornball is like, hey, can I get your number? And she's like, nah, I'm good. And he shot her. I just watched something in New York a few months ago, 2021. I want to say it was March or April. Black woman in I want to say she was in Brooklyn. May have been the Bronx. But she went into like a wine and spirit store, like a liquor store. She was getting wine or whatever she was getting. And there was some young Black men, you know, in front of the store, eventually came into the store. One in particular was like, hey, let me buy that for you. She was like, no, I'm good. I got it. And then he start cussing her. Oh, B, you think you too good. You think you this and that. And then she was like, no, I don't think that. So she's being apologetic because this whole clown, this fool won't leave her alone. So she's trying to come with what's the proverb about a gentle. She's coming with a gentle answer because this fool is coming with wrath. And so he proceeds to follow her outside. And then he jumps her. And so he's with like three other dudes. None of his friends says, oh man, don't do that. Don't do that. He fights this woman. And then the clown, the monkey, the porch ape proceeds to bite. He tried to bite her eyeball out. So he was like biting like a rabbit dog, biting, trying to bite her eye out. So she had to get stitches right around, you know, when you close your eye in the eyelid area, she had to get stitches there because he was trying to bite her eye out. That's how crazy this. And this was 2021 March or April. That's the kind of stuff that black women have to endure as just going about our everyday life. And yeah, we have to endure from white people, white men, but we have to endure from black men. Y'all already know. I don't hold no punches. I don't hold no punches by trash men. If you're a trash man, then you will be offended. If you're not a trash man, then you won't be offended, okay? But none of his friends didn't think, man, he going too far. You know what I mean? It ended up somebody like that pulled up, like that wasn't with them, just driving down the street, eventually got out the car and broke it up. She had to go to the hospital, like I said, get stitches and all this stuff in her face, her eyelid, all of that. Because this little boy, couldn't take no. He thought that he had the right to not only say, hey, anybody for you. And when she said no, he thought that he had the right to say, did you just say no to me? That he had the right to then beat her up. And so it is absolutely, utterly ridiculous. Like I said, it has been from the day of slavery up until 2021 that people, men in particular, think that they have a white and black, think that they have a right to invade the space of black women, you know, in the workplace. You know, I don't know, but you feel it when we're in a workplace and we're trying to not sound so aggressive or assertive when we're, especially if we're like on a collaborative work group and it's like, you know, a bunch of white guys on the group, especially a bunch of white guys on the group. And we're like, okay, well, I'm not trying to act like I'm trying to be assertive, you know, or we're always saying, oh, I'm sorry. Like, stop saying that. That bugs me. I can't stand that. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. No. I'm not sorry. That's one. I'm not. God, the Lord made me very well. So there's nothing sorry about me. And I do that. I'm guilty of it too. So I'm not just pointing a finger at you, but we got to stop this. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Like, we don't deserve to be somewhere. Like, we don't deserve to say what we need to say at a given time. If you're saying something foul, I'm going to check you. Period. If you don't, especially if you're saying something foul as it pertains to me, is something devaluing, degrading, disrespectful to me as a woman, as a black woman, or to any black woman in my space, I am going to check you. And you can call me an angry black woman. You can call me aggressive black woman. You can call me a bitter black woman. You can call me whatever you like, just as long as you don't put your hands on me, because I do carry now. It will not work out well for you, okay? So, yeah, like, that's, yeah. This is a talk. I'm talking, if you're listening and you're a male, check yourself. Check how you're talking to women. Check how you're talking to women at your workplace. Check how you're talking and engaging with women, at the Starbucks, the Dunkin' Donuts, I don't care where you are. Check how you're talking with, even if you're in the church, because there's even an air of men in the church who believe that they can talk down to, talk over, devalue, and disrespect women in the church, in the community of God. There are men that think that they have a right to do that. Bruh, I don't care if we in the church, I don't care if we sitting on the pew, and Jesus sitting to the right of me, and God sitting to the left of me and Holy Spirit sitting behind me in the back pew and you talking to me, I'm going to check you. That's just how I'm made up. One thing I cannot tolerate, stomach. I cannot stand a disrespectful male. Something about that, my stomach's turning to hot lava. The acid in my stomach turns into hot lava. And I will turn into a crazy person. So, men need to start checking each other. Check each other, talk to each other. Like, all right, the way we used to engage with and talk to sisters and women, that's gotta go. That came from your father, grandfather, and all that foolishness from the 50s, 60s, and beyond. That is not what it is. They were wrong in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, and they're wrong now. Like, don't talk to me no way you wouldn't talk to another dude. If you wouldn't talk to another dude crazy, don't talk to me crazy. You know what I'm saying? And even if you would talk to another dude crazy, do not. Don't try me. But, I just feel a way. And I just want to, every black woman that listens to this podcast, if you are not black and you know a black woman, tell her to listen to this podcast. This is an encouragement. This is a hug. From me to her. Sis, I got your back. Sis, I love you. Sis, I see you. Sis, you are dope. Sis, you are intelligent. You are well able. Financially, you can handle your own. Physically, you can handle your own. You know, you don't need nobody to buy you no house. You don't need nobody to buy you no car. You don't need nobody to buy. You want a Birkin bag? Go buy you a Birkin bag, sis. You know, your worth and value is not in between your legs. It's not your hips. I know that it's all these builder bodies out here, and it got you thinking like, if I don't have a builder body, then how am I ever gonna get a man? You know. You don't want that man. That man that want that builder body, that ain't, you don't want him. He's a clown. He's an absolute clown. I don't care how much money he got. I don't care if he $100 million man. If that's what he's attracted to, that's the fruit. That's the fruit of his soul. That tells you that his soul is a septic tank. His soul is garbage. And so, you know, I know that, you know, it kind of make you, I know if, you know, what was I gonna say? I know it can make you feel uneasy, uncomfortable. You know, you even got Christian men out here with these builder bodies. You got Christian men out here looking for exotic women, which is bizarre. Women that look exotic, you should be offended that people that you're their preference, that you're a preference. You should be offended because you've now been devalued. You've been objectified. And some of y'all so ditzy, you don't even realize that you being, oh, he prefers light skin. Fool, he just objectified you. This is like saying, I prefer a Honda. I prefer chicken over steak. You've just been objectified, darling. You should check that dude. Like, so why don't you like dark-skinned women? What's the problem? Do you know the soil? Do you know where your ancestors look like, brother? So what are you saying that you don't like about your people? That should be a problem for you if you're fair-skinned and somebody's saying that about you. You know what I'm saying? That should be a problem for you if you're white and they're saying, well, I only date white women because, you know, black women are too XYZ. You should have a problem with that. As a woman, you should have a problem with that and say, well, whoa. How is it that you don't like what you see in the mirror? Blackness. How is it that you know what I'm saying? Like, this is a hug podcast. This is a sister circle, we all holding hands. And you know, anything that you put your mind to, you can accomplish it, man. I know that's so, people just say that if you think it, you can, all that stuff. I know, you know, but you can, There's so many opportunities out here. More opportunities now than what our mom and granddad have. Mom and grandmom and great-grandparents have. And great-great-grandparents have way more opportunities, you know? We can accomplish so much more, man. And if you choose to be married one day, by all means, you know, I'm not anti-marriage. Of course not. If you choose to be married one day, go for it. May it be beautiful. May he be your equal, man. May he be respectful. May he love Jesus more than he love his own breath, you know, and may he love you like, you know, may he love you like Jesus loves you. You know what I'm saying? May your relationship, your marriage be awesome, and may it grow and be an example to lost people about how Jesus loves people. You know, if you choose not to be married, don't let nobody disrespect you. Like, well, why ain't you married? Why ain't you dating? Why you ain't got no boyfriend? You should look them in their face and say, why? Because I ain't with no bum like yours. I don't want no bum like yours. That's why I'm single. You have a bum and you're miserable. You want me to come into your misery? I'm good, sis. Thank you. But no, thank you. But, you know, don't let nobody pressure you into being married, having a boyfriend. And furthermore, if you in your 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and you still talking about a boyfriend, that's a problem. That is so freaking juvenile. That's what they do in middle school, darling. Like, no. But you don't let nobody pressure you into, no, I'm good. I enjoy my own company. You tell them I enjoy my own company. I love being with me. Look, this one sister that I follow, she's so funny. She's single, but she's so dope. I love her to life. She's like a multimillionaire. She has she does coaching, and she's a real estate developer and all this kind of stuff out of Atlanta. So she said, people always asking her, why are you single? She look at them and say, what about me? What about what I'm doing and accomplishing says to you that I want to be with a man, that I want to be married? What about that? What about me? And incidentally, she just built a neighborhood. She's developing a community in Atlanta. And what about me developing this multi-million-dollar community tells you, oh, she want to be married? What about me? What about this transaction that I just did? It's telling you that. You know what I mean? And so she's like, listen, I grew up as an only child. She said, I used to play on the porch by myself. So I'm used to being by myself. She said, I ain't had no friends. I couldn't play. I couldn't even come off the porch. My mom ain't play that. So, you know, I fell out. Because I spent a lot of time by myself as a kid, too. I had a lot of siblings, but I was by myself a lot. I played by myself a lot. So that's probably why I'm so drawn to her. Because we're a lot. And she's very, very assertive. And I love it. I love assertive black women. I love assertive black women. Passive black women, I won't say I don't like, because I love all black women. I just say I have to really dig in my Holy Ghost bag to be around a passive woman, especially a passive black woman. Because I love assertive black women. I just do. And so that's probably, her and I are a lot alike. That's probably why I'm so drawn to her. And I would love to meet her one day. And we could be besties. I love her so much. But anyway, yeah, like, don't let nobody pressure you. Don't spend your days preparing your wedding day. Like, girl, come on. Why you got all these wedding magazines? What are you doing? Why are you sitting up here talking about this is what I'm going on our honeymoon, and this is what neighborhood we're going to move in, and this is how many kids we're going to have? Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Is patriarchy coming out of your pores? Girl, like I said, if you want to be married, be married. At some point, do it. Go for it, whatever. But if you're not, why is that your strategic planning? Every time somebody talk to you, you bring up a dude, some man that don't exist, you know, that you haven't even met. You bringing up a plan of where y'all gonna live and all this. Like, girl, I don't want to hear that crap. Hush, just hush, please. Let's see how we can make $100,000 by the end of 2021. you know, I make 50, you make 50. Let's see how we can make 100 grand by December 31st. Talk to me about that. You know, and I, you know, so, yeah. And people ask me, do I want to be married? I won't say no. I am older, you know, I'm knocking on 50. I can't imagine. And you know, the older you get, the more set in your ways you get. I can't imagine adjusting my comfortability for somebody else, you know, to be comfortable. I cannot imagine that. I think that would be very hard. I think it would be a very tumultuous marriage. I think it would be, we would be in counseling a whole lot, because I am, the older, like I said, the older I get, the more this is how I like things, and I'm not interested in adjusting. And so, but you know, I don't know, that could change, you know. Maybe, what if I turn 55 and all of us, you know, and I meet someone, and that person, I'm living my best life, and then I meet this person and he's living his best life, and then I might meet someone that I actually want to adjust for. So that's why I won't say that. No, I don't want to be married. I won't say that. I'll just say, I will say this. I was not birthed into this world to watch somebody wash somebody dirty, funky drawers and make somebody dinner. That is not why God, the Almighty, put me on the earth. That is not. I would not want to serve a God like that. I would not. I would rather be. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't even. Child. Child, please. My God is so much greater than that. I have an assignment. I have an assignment while I'm here. And yeah, I don't believe it has nothing to do with marriage. If I get married, great. Okay, cool. You know, so long as it's good. You know what I mean? If not, that's cool too. But I'm, man. But back to this thing. Like I said, this is a hug from me to you. This is, you don't need nobody giving you permission to live your best life, to be fully present. You don't need permission from me or no one else. You know, when you made it through the birth canal, when God allowed you to come into the earth realm, God gave you permission to be you. God gave you permission to stand fully in your awesomeness and to use your voice, to speak your thoughts, to write your books, to write your songs, to love, to befriend, to do whatever he put in you, that thing that you just cannot not do. You don't need permission from nobody. God already gave you permission. Like I said, you survived the birth canal. That was your permission. That was your stamp on the, that was your stamp of approval. Now go be great, you know? And so, this is not, like I said, I'm not giving you the freedom to do anything. This is just me sitting in a room with you. We're drinking our sparkling cider, me and a bunch of my sisters, and we're cheering each other on. This is just me cheering you on with my sparkling cider and in my cute little house attire, you know, with my hair up in a bun and, you know, all of these things, you know. And so I just wanted, like I said, that documentary really sparked some things, and it just made me go, oh, you know. And incidentally, back to Miss Reese Taylor, I think she lived to be like in her 90s. I want to say she lived to be like 90 something or other. She eventually left Abbeville and went to Florida, and then eventually like she got sick, and so her family brought her back to Abbeville, Alabama, and you know, took care of her, and she was in a nursing home, and she looked amazing. She was in the documentary. The documentary came out, I want to say 2016, so it was before she passed away. So she was in it. She looked amazing, and she just said, you know what she said? I said, oh my gosh, I know that she loves Jesus. She said, I thought they was gonna kill me, but the Lord was with me that night. I said, oh my God. I said, you want to talk about a Christian? Reese Taylor is a Christian for real. Like, the Lord was with her. You know what? I would have been like, God abandoned me that night. He must have abandoned me, because I'm laying in the floor of the woods and these fools are brutalizing me. she said, the Lord was with me that night. I said, oh, my Lord Jesus. And I know I can't wait to get to heaven because I'm going to run right into her arms. I can't wait to hug her, kiss her, talk to her. Oh, my Lord. Like, but incidentally, not just her. I know I'm going off track a little bit, but not just her. Sojourner Truth, baby, you want to talk about a Christian? Christian? Now, there's a difference between a Christian and a Christian. A Christian, they go to church, they go to Bible study, they might do a little nice thing here and there. You know, they might stick tithe, they might give a little offering, you know, but a Christian, these people are sold out. These people, Christ is everything to them. He's their meat, their drink, their breath. He say jump, they already in the air before he can say jump. That's who she is. And that's who Sojourner Truth. I was reading a slave narratives from her. And she was just talking about the Lord and how she loved the Lord and how she was forgiving of what the mistress was doing to her. The mistress was like beating her up and all of this stuff. And I was like, Lord, I ain't got it. I'm not a Christian yet. I'm still a Christian. I haven't crossed over to the Christian part. Because if you beat me up, you brutalizing me, the last thing I'm thinking about is forgiveness. The last thing I'm thinking about is, I'm thinking about what can I grab, pull, what can I use? I'm thinking, Father, give me the strength of Samson so I can kill these mugs. That's what I'm thinking. I would not be thinking about no forgiveness. You know what I'm saying? So I am still a Christian. I'm not yet a Christian yet. So y'all pray. Y'all Christians out there that are listening to this podcast, y'all pray. Y'all pray for me. It's been a long time. I should have been crossed over to Christian yet, but I have not. I'm just keeping it real. I have not. And so, yes, back to my beautiful sisters. Man, oh, you know what? Last thing. Or next to last thing. My sister gave me this book by Beverly Bond called Black Girls Rock. It is a collection of black women. When I tell you I love this book, shout out to you, Renee Mary. I don't know if you listen to my podcast or not, but thank you so much. You are, man, you're one of the most funniest, precious sisters that I know. And she gave me this book for my birthday. And it is a collection of black women doing amazing, awesome things, being fully themselves, not trying to be anyone else, being transparent. Everybody's in here from Maxine Waters to Tamika Mallory, one of my favorite people, to Unique Jones Gibson, to Naomi Campbell, to Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman, Nana Yah. Asanteyiwa. I probably butcher her name. But I'm going to read you a little bit about her since I got it open now. So Nana Yah, I'm just going to call her Nana Yah, was a queen, an intellectual, a politician, a human rights activist, and a dynamic leader. She became famous for leading the Ashanti Rebellion against British colonization to defend the golden stool of the Ashanti people. She is also known for her prominent role in promoting women's emancipation and gender equality. Oh my God. So if you don't have this book and you're like, Venus Williams is in this book, Suzanne Shane, Kathy Hughes, Solange is in this book, of course, Beyonce, Dana Guerrier, Dora Melange from Black Panther. All kinds of people, you know, and you know, it is a cross section of women, you know. I know some there are Muslim women in here, but you know, if you can take off your religious hat and just say, you know what, I can take something from this woman that's a Muslim. Of course, I don't, you know, you may not take her faith, of course not, but there's something that she has achieved that you can say, you know what, I can take something from that. And there are Jewish women in this book. I mean, not Jewish women. Why I say Jewish? This is a book of black women. There are feminist women in this book. There are some women in the LGBTQ community in this book. And like I said, you don't throw the baby away with the bathwater. There's something you can learn from just about anybody without taking on whatever their lifestyle is. You know, I heard someone say, this is a married person. His name is Justin Gibney. I heard him say, he's a Christian activist. He said, I can love you and disagree with you at the same time. He said, it happens in marriage every day. His point in that was, you know, I can talk to somebody from the LGBTQ community and I can disagree with your lifestyle, but I can sit and talk and chat with you. I can have dinner with you. I can even fight for some things on your behalf. No, I don't agree with you, your marriage. I don't agree with your lifestyle, but you have the right to live in this, in whatever community you want to live in. You have the right to work at whatever job you want to work in. No one has you can't. What does you being in the LGBTQ community have to do with you working at Burger King at the Frost Station? The manager at Burger King don't have the right to fire you because they found out that you're gay. So he was like, I can even advocate on your behalf and not accept your lifestyle and openly tell you, I do not accept your lifestyle, but for certain things I can advocate on your behalf. And so I just love that. I just love that. You know what I mean? And so I say all that to say, cause I know some Christian women will be like, oh, I can't read that book. Oh, it got all kind of people in that book. Oh, girl, be quiet. Girl, you go to work, you go to Walmart, don't you? Everybody on Walmart's board is not a Christian, okay? Everybody in Walmart's management team is not Christian. Every product that you buy off the Walmart shelf, these are not believers. They don't believe in your Jesus, honey. A lot of them believe in all kind of stuff. So knock it off, please. I'm sorry. Nope, there I go with it. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. There's nothing sorry about me. But if you're offended, then this is probably not, this is definitely not the podcast for you. And I suggest you go on iTunes or wherever and you find yourself another little friendlier podcast. Okay, boo. And so that is the last thing. I don't have a money minute with this episode, but I got an exciting series coming up. It's going to be a four straight episodes in a row. You know, I've done this in times past. And it's called Launch Your Business Now. So the first episode is going to be, and these are going to be short episodes, like 15, maybe 20 minutes. At least that's the goal. But the first one is going to be about getting your legalities of your business, the EIN number, the LLC, and all of that. I'm going to walk you through all of that. The second episode is about getting your marketing stuff in order, your business bank account, business credit, websites, business cards, all of that stuff. The third episode will be about getting that first customer. I want y'all to prepare, get ready for it. This is going to be good. Okay. The first episode one is the legalities of business, EIN, LLC, license, business license, etc. Day two will be about websites, business address, business cards, etc. Day three will be about business credit, business bank accounts, NAV, NAV. If you don't know about NAV, it is like Credit Karma for businesses. And then day four, I'm going to talk to you about getting that first customer. Because if you don't have any customers and you're calling yourself a business owner, you're really a nonprofit. And you should be taking donations. You need to go ahead and get that 501c3. But if you're saying you're a business owner, an entrepreneur, then you should be getting customers. And then there should be a steady stream of income coming in. And it's not going to happen overnight. I'm not trying to shame nobody. I'm still steady trying to grow my business. That's forthcoming. I want to say I'm going to start recording it next week. So you'll be able to see all episodes. And then I got some interesting topics coming up, but I'm just going to give you that one. Again, that's going to be a 4-day in a row Launch Your Business Now series of podcasts. And so y'all know what it is. You already know. Like I always say, I want to see you in heaven with me, and I'm out.